John chapter 17. Our pericope of scripture is John 17. Also called Jesus' high priestly prayer, or he's praying for his church shortly before his death. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Pause a minute, boys and girls. Notice in this passage, this prayer, how many times Jesus talks about being sent. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Our texts are the verses 18 through 20. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The flowers fade, the grass withers, but the word of God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. Beloved, as a pastor, as a missionary, I ask you this evening, how important is mission work? Whether that mission work be far away over oceans and foreign fields, or whether that work be here at home in the United States and Canada. How important is missions to us as a denomination? How important are missions to you as a local congregation? How important is mission, evangelism, to you as individual believers? Do you find yourself praying for that work at your dinner tables, heads of home? Do you seek individually opportunities for personal evangelism? Do we have a heart? Do we have a love for those who do not know Jesus Christ? How important in missions? It is a mark of the true church. Yes, I know there's three marks of the true church: the pure preaching of the gospel, proper administration of discipline, and the administration of the sacraments. But underneath that first heading, the first mark of the church, the pure preaching of the word, where is that preaching to take place? Well, of course, it takes place within the church, but more than that. From the canons of Dort, we know that the preaching of the gospel must be promiscuous. Wherever the Lord opens up doors for us. Important, because each of the four gospels end with Jesus' commission to the church, and the book of Acts of Jesus' continuing work from heaven is about mission work. Matthew 28, verse 19, the most well-known, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Acts 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." The church is commissioned by Christ, her head. And tonight in Jesus' high priestly prayer, there is a connection drawn, isn't there? For we read there the words, "as, even so also." God sent Jesus. Jesus sends his church. So have I entitled our message this evening, "The Sending God." The Sending God. Who are sent? Where are they sent? Why are they sent? Who, where, why? In our text, there is a double comparison. Hopefully you got your Bible still open. You can see that double comparison. There is a comparison between the Father as sender and Christ as the sender. And there is a second of all comparison between Christ as the sent one and his disciples as the sent ones. One idea, as the Father has sent Jesus into the world with a message and a task, so Jesus sends his church into the world with a mission, with a message, with a task. So according to our text, who are the sent ones? And immediately we notice, first of all, that it is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus prays, "as the Father has sent me." Over and over, the scriptures emphasize that truth, that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. So that in the words of the Old Testament, the obedient servant of Jehovah says in Psalm 40, verse 7, then said, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Jesus is the obedient servant who comes into the world to do the task, to come with a message that the Father has given him. Isaiah 53, picture of that obedient servant of Jehovah. And it is especially John's gospel that is filled with this idea of sending. It begins already in chapter 1 regarding John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. John chapter 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 4, verse 34, Jesus talks to his disciples. He's been spending time with the Samaritan woman at the well who brings all her neighbors back to the well to meet Jesus, the Christ. And finally, his disciples come with the food. And Jesus says to his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father that has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, ever will he live by me. And I could keep on going through the different chapters in John. We're studying that together as a Bible study indoor. I quote those many verses in order that we can see how important this concept is. 55 times that verb is used of sent or sending. 41 of them referring to Jesus being sent of his Father. In other words, Jesus is keenly aware of himself being sent by the Father. He has that idea of identification. I am the sent one, the Father sent one. It has, second of all, the idea of authority. In other words, Jesus didn't come on his own, but he comes as sent by a special commission. There's a delegated authority. He speaks in the name of his Father. So Jesus is the sent one, sent of the Father, commissioned with authority. Now our text says, even as the Father has sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. Jesus is speaking there about his disciples. He sent out the 12, two by two, and later on, he sends out the 70, two by two, to prepare the cities where he is going to be visiting. And now in our pericope, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he prays for his disciples. They have been with him for 3 years. Jesus says, verse 6, that he had manifested God's name to them. Jesus had given them the words which the Father had given to him. Verse 8, they received those words. They believed that Jesus was the sent one, that is, the long-awaited Messiah. We have almost the same words of our text repeated in John chapter 20. These were words that we looked at tonight, words spoken before his death. But in John chapter 20, Jesus uses almost the same words after his resurrection. On that first Sunday evening, when he suddenly is in the midst of the 10 disciples in the upper room. And we read there, "Peace be unto you, my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And that's amazing, really. They are commissioned by Jesus again. Why do they need to be commissioned by Jesus again? Well, it's really amazing that he is commissioning them again. For they had all forsaken him on the cross. One of them even denied him. Now, if Jesus had dealt with them as the Apostle Paul wanted to deal with John Mark, he says, he failed once, forget him, he's not going on any more trips. And Jesus could very well have looked at all these disciples that forsook him and said, I'll start new. But he forgave them. He says, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And in sending out his disciples there, he is sending out the church, isn't he? For we are an apostolic church. We take the teachings that the apostles laid down as a foundation for our faith, and we broadcast that teaching. And isn't that amazing that the Lord is willing to use sinners like you and like me? For haven't we at times really forsaken him to do our own thing, or even maybe denied him, or were ashamed of him? But forgiven. Yes, sinners, but redeemed sinners. The church has a commission. The church has heard and has received God's word. Jesus says in verse 14, I have given them thy word. And so the church collectively is sent into this world. And that means also as believers, we are also individually sent by Christ Jesus. That is our commission. That is our mission statement. Who are the sent ones? Notice our text identifies as Christ, even so his disciples. There's a very close connection between the one who sends and the ones he is sending. They are not of the world, Jesus says, verse 16. They are those, in verse 19, that are sanctified. They are, verse 8, those who have received the word. The sent ones are those who belong to Christ, and therefore they belong to God the Father. They are sent, that is, they are commissioned. They are under authority, not going on their own, but you and I, that is our identification. Who are we? We are the sent ones. We represent Christ Jesus, even as Christ represented his Father in heaven. We are the sanctified ones. That means completely consecrated, dedicated, completely given over to the one who sends us, and completely given over to the task given to us. We are those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That comes out especially in John chapter 20. The risen Lord says to his disciples, we read in verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on him. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So let's look at that identification. The sender and the sendees. Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen my Father. And Jesus could then add, he who has heard me has heard my Father. So it is also with the church that is sent. Looking at the church, others should be able to see Jesus Christ in us. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? What picture of Jesus do others have through our speech daily, through our activities? Do they see Christ's glory? Or do they see, perhaps on our part, a lack of concern? Or do they see pride? We think that we're better than them. Or do they see impatience? Jesus' enemies, after his ascension into heaven, took note of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. And I want to ask, and I want to hopefully challenge you and myself, as we go out tomorrow, go back to our work, go back to our neighborhoods, go back to our extended families. Can others see that we have been with Jesus today? Does it make a difference in our daily lives, in our speech, in our actions, in our concern for others? The sent ones, chosen by the Father, Jesus says, those whom thou hast given me, sent by Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The sent ones obedient to the commission given. Oh, by grace, may we be the obedient sent ones. That brings me to the second point then, where? Where are they sent? And Jesus says very clearly, into the world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. What is that world? It is the world that God created good, but it is a world that was plunged into sin under God's curse. So what does it mean now to be in the world? And I want to emphasize, first of all, it does not mean to be like the world. It does not mean to be of the world. How important is the truth of the antithesis? If we are as dark as the world as we give no light at all, we are not of the world. Jesus emphasized that in this high priestly prayer. But while not of the world, we are sent into the world. Now, that word world has many different meanings depending on the context in Scripture. Sometimes it simply means this created world. For God so loved this world, the cosmos, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. At other times, it is limited to human beings that inhabit the world. But beloved, here in our text, we take it in its ethical sense. Mankind alienated from the life of God, sin-laden, exposed to God's judgment, and desperately needing salvation. It is a world in rebellion against God. It is a world that now is in the grip of the evil one. What do we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3? And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. The world is set over against God. The world follows its own wisdom. It is a world of pride, of covetousness, of idolatry, of pleasures, of wickedness. It is a world that is in the grip of death. It is, verse 14, a world that hates Jesus Christ. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It is a world that is going to persecute that church of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is a world, there's no distinction, is there, between race or nationality. I remember as a younger man, it used to be popular to have, for some of us, to have bumper stickers which said, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. And what a bunch of baloney that is. What pride. Of ourselves, none of us are anything but sinful. For as the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is into that dark world that God sent his Son. 1 John 4, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John 4, verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The holy, righteous, perfect Son of God sent into this world of sin and death. Doesn't that take your breath away when you think, if you contemplate that? How the holy angels must have questioned, marveled. How can this be? What is God doing? How can God's Son, his perfect Son, be sent there? He who is light and life, sent down into darkness and death. Yes, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as the Father sent his Son into the world, even so Christ sends his disciples, his church, into the world. Why? Look at the end of this prayer, verse 24. Jesus says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Why in the world then didn't the Lord Jesus just translate his disciples with him up into heaven and take his church up into heaven? No persecution, no trials or difficulties, no suffering. Why? Why does Jesus say in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil? And the answer is that they may witness, that they also might be light in the midst of darkness, that they may be the salt of the earth. And those who are Christ may not shirk that calling. They must not try to separate themselves into their own little ghettos and set up their own little communities. Jesus sends them into the world so that we live in their neighborhoods. We work in their workplaces. We eat in their restaurants and we shop in their stores. God has placed Trinity here in this little community called Hudsonville. Into the world. It is certain that Christ's disciples, that his church, cannot and they may not attempt to retreat from this world. Don't retreat from the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. John 17, verse 15. It is into this world, all of this world. Mark 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature that God sends us. And yes, the sent ones, the Church of Jesus Christ, you and I as believers are to be light in the midst of darkness. For the world is that field that Jesus Christ says is white unto harvest, and that we are to pray to the Lord of the harvest for servants to reap. The world is still God's world, isn't it? Even though it is under the power of Satan, under God's curse, it is God's world, and he will redeem it. So how was Christ and how are his disciples, his church, sent into the world? Verse 19, Jesus says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So the sent ones are sent into the world sanctified. That means completely consecrated and dedicated, given to serve the one who sins. For Jesus, it meant self-sacrifice. For Jesus, it meant giving himself as a self-offering. For Jesus, it meant he dedicated himself to that task. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. What an approach to the task given to the Savior, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be rejected, to be crucified on the cross. And he rendered complete obedience. And by that obedience, he obtains for us, his people, complete salvation. Jesus completes his work so that his disciples are not only saved, but they are given the Holy Spirit so that they are also set apart and consecrated to Jesus and the task that he gives them. Jesus offers himself willingly in order that the disciples may truly be also set apart, qualified, consecrated to the exalted task of proclaiming the gospel to a world lost in sin. So if that's how Jesus came into the world, self-giving, self-offering, self-sacrifice, willing, the church sent to Jesus are to be in our mission likewise, willing, consecrated to the task, not making excuses, I have to do this and I have to do this and we don't have enough in our budget. And no. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus sends his church into the world, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, consecrated, giving ourselves to that task. By the grace of God, may we see this as our mission, as the mark of his church, the pure preaching of the gospel. Yes, from Sunday to Sunday within the walls of the church, but we, taking that word that is preached on Sunday, taking it with us into our homes and into our neighborhoods and into our workplaces. Who? Jesus was sent, he sends his church. Where into the world? Why? Why? The sent ones come with a message and with a task. Jesus said of himself, I came not to save the righteous, but to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came with a message, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you see Jesus? Did he sit only in polite company? Do you see Jesus sitting in the house of Matthew, the tax collector? And we read, behold, many publicans and sinners came and they sat down with him and his disciples. How disgusting! The Pharisees ask Jesus' disciples, why eatest thy master with publicans and sinners? Jesus answers, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, Jesus came with a task and with a message. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am a chief. Of whom I am a chief. If only you and I had more of that sense of the Apostle Paul. What made him such a missionary? Because he didn't put himself on a shelf high and lifted up above everyone else, but he knew himself as a sinner. And therefore he could go into a Roman and a Greek culture with homosexuality and many wives and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are lost. And perhaps if we have that knowledge of ourselves as being the lost, the worst of sinners, chief, whom Jesus came into this world to save, perhaps we'd be more willing to get to know some of those folks in our neighborhood that normally we would stay further away from. Get to know them and they get to know you, and you can share with them the hope that is within you. 1 John 4, verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 10, he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so now Jesus, who came into this world, who ate and who dined and sat with sinners and publicans and harlots, sends his disciples, his church, into the world with a task, with a message. The church must testify so that all those who were given to the Son in eternity might be gathered out of the world, gathered into the church of Jesus Christ, so that God receives all the glory. Remember this morning how God's purpose is to bring a bride to his Son, Jesus Christ. How important is this witness bearing? Bringing the word of God to others? Testifying of that great heritage that God gave us, sharing it with others, how important. Notice at the end of our text this evening, neither pray I for these alone, that is the disciples or the church, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Do you have a sense of that? As you speak to your extended family, do you have a sense of that when you're in the workplace rubbing elbows with other people? Do you have a sense of that in your neighborhood? That God is pleased to use his church, he's pleased to use believers like you and I, sinners, redeemed sinners, to gather some of those folks to Christ Jesus. He's pleased to use such instruments as us. The missionary spirit, the spirit of the ascended Lord Jesus, has been given to the church. That identifies us. We are a missionary people, set apart by Christ, consecrated to Christ and to the task he has given to us, to seek and to save the lost, to herald, to bear the witness of Christ Jesus, to bring the message that there is only one name by where men can be saved. We are sent. And that means, beloved, that we are not to have too high an opinion of ourselves. For to serve Jesus Christ means to take up his cross after him and follow. It leads necessarily to a lowly path, and to ridicule, to laughter, and yes, even persecution. But how does Christ send us out? We are not sent out like Pharaoh sent the Hebrews out. They had to build cities, but they had to first find their own straw and make their bricks, and then they could build the cities. But God sends his church out equipped with his word, equipped by his Holy Spirit. And we are the instruments. Go. He said to his disciples, receive the Holy Ghost. into the world, what does that mean specifically for us? As Jesus was sent into the world, so the church is sent into the world. That's the incarnation, isn't it? He became one with us, born of the Virgin Mary. You see, Jesus didn't stay up there in heaven. And Jesus from heaven didn't shout down to the world and say, I'm seeking to save the lost. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He came down. He was one of us. He loved us. He brought his word to us. He saved us. How do we bring the word into the world? It's not by staying safely only in the confines of our church buildings. Oh, it's safe there. It's comfortable there. Very comfortable in this nice sanctuary. But he says, no, go into the world. Where you eat in those restaurants, do they see you praying? When you're shopping in the stores, do they see honesty? And you live in your neighborhoods, when you're working in your workplace, by the speech that you use. There are those who say, well, if people want to hear the preaching word, the doors are open, they're welcome to come in. Or others say, we've got Bible studies in the church, let them come to our Bible studies. That's not what Jesus said, let them come. Jesus said to his church, go. You go into the world. You go into your community. You start some Bible studies on the level of the people there where they feel a little more secure. Go to them. Bring the word. It means not that we're friends of the world, but that we are friendly, that we are approachable, that we're hospitable. When the world looks at us in our ordinary life, hopefully they don't see the world, but hopefully they also don't see Pharisees strutting around with their heads held high. But may they see sinners, redeemed sinners, who love the Lord and want others also to know him and love him and serve him. Jesus said, go. Go into all the world. Our mission. We are to go into the world as Jesus willingly went into the world, the sent ones. We are to go so that people might be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we bring glory to God, even as Christ glorified his Father by completing his task. The sending God, the God of grace and mercy, the sent ones, Christ, and through Christ, his church. Amen. Father in heaven, may we be an obedient people. May we be willing to sacrifice our own name or our own position, perhaps ridicule, laughter at times. May we give ourselves to this task. May we identify ourselves as those whom Christ sends into this world. Bless, O Lord, the church then. Be glorified as thy children, thy elect children, are drawn out of this world into Christ Jesus and into his church. Amen.